join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Embarrass the Devil by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Before I present the word today, I've asked our media department to share something with you. Some of you may have seen this. Tiger Woods comeback. And he's evidence that your setback can be a setup for your comeback. So watch this to just get some further understanding of what had been said about Tiger Woods.
Can Tiger Woods compete with the Justin Thomases, Jordan Spieths, Dustin Johnsons?
No, is the short answer.
I appreciate this question a lot. Do you think he'll return his previous form?
No. Do you think he stands a chance of being the Tiger Woods we once knew?
No.
No, no, no. Here's what's going to happen. He is not ever going to win another tournament.
I don't think we'll ever see Tiger Woods win a golf tournament again.
He's showing up at these tournaments and pretty much knowing that he's not going to be there.
The short game is gone. His health is gone.
The next press release Tiger Woods should release should be, I'm retiring.
I have considered him now for the last 5-6 years a former golfer.
You're washed. Just give up while you're ahead. Retire with some dignity.
Tiger Woods that we all knew, he will never, ever be that guy again.
Truth of the matter, after I did some research, this was an edited. They put this together. Originally, Tiger Woods was looking at a video, and it was all the golfers commending him for a total, I think, at the time of like 79 wins, and said nobody ever done that. People had gotten 10 wins and 15 wins and 70, and they were all commending him, and they were asking him in the interview, what do you think about this? But I thought it was good for somebody to go back and edit this, and they had Tiger Woods looking back over all the things that other people had said about him. Because at the end of the day, it's not what they say, it's what you say. And I thought it's befitting, as a matter of fact, for those of you who don't know, Tiger Woods' father, who passed away in 2006, had once said, it was taken out of context and people twisted his words, he had said, which now I'm calling a prophecy, he said, Tiger Woods will be to golf what Jesus Christ is to religion. And people thought he was comparing Tiger to Jesus, and that's not what he said. He said Tiger Woods would be to golf what Jesus is to religion or Christianity. And I thought that was so appropriate because Jesus was resurrected when everybody thought he was dead. And Tiger Woods was resurrected when everybody thought he was dead. And so in that sense, that is true, that Tiger Woods has become to golf or to sports in general what our Savior is to us. Look at Colossians, the second chapter, verse 12-15. For those of you who don't know, the reason why it's good to come the right direction on Resurrection Day is because you're not going to hear what you always heard. I'm always going to give you practical application. Most of us, we know the story. Yeah, he got up there, when, you know, and we even saw it displayed. Come on, thank God again for our creative arts ministry. But I always want to make the Word of God real practical to us, that we not see it as his story, but we see it as our story. So Colossians 2nd chapter, that's why I'm not going to the Gospels. We're starting off with Paul's writings and understanding and application of the resurrection. Colossians 2nd chapter, verse 12, it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Man, that was an operation. We're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you... Now he makes it practical to us. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, that word quickened means made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses or sins. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. It says, so when Jesus was nailed to the cross, all your mistakes, all your sins, all your shortcomings were also nailed to the cross with him. Then verse 15 says, having spoiled, which is the text, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus spoiled principality, having made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. When we see the story of Tiger Woods, and it's interesting now that hardly anyone after he won the Masters for what, the fifth time? After he won it, nobody talked about all his mistakes. They hardly wasn't talk. They use words like he fell from grace, he had his shortcomings, went through some low periods in his life. But when you're down, everybody won't be talking about you. So in Tiger Woods' case, he went through shame, went through divorce, he went through loss of endorsements. Nike hung in there with him. Nike said, he's coming back. We're gonna be right here. And the rest of y'all, he's gonna be like, please. If you want me, you gonna really pay now. Loss of endorsement, four back surgeries, tournament after tournament. As we saw, people say showing up. Some people say you're showing up, and you shouldn't even show up. You're not gonna win. Then at 44 years old, 10 years since his fall, and 20 years after his first Masters win, when everybody thought he would never rise again, he defied the odds. Embarrass all his critics. Watch this. He shamed them by his victory. That's what Jesus did. He shamed them by his victory. Because it didn't matter what they said, it mattered what he said. And he had always been saying, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll pick it back up again. He had been saying, no man takes my life, I lay it down, and I'll pick it back up again. And they thought, yang, 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 all this talk, didn't understand it. But Resurrection Day is proof to the fact that there's power in the Word of God. Colossians 2:15, this text that I said from the King James said, having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Let me give that to you from several other translations before I give you my topic. Colossians 2:15, New Living Translation. It says, in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authority. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them in the cross. It's one thing to be shamed. It's another thing to be shamed publicly. You know, the truth of the matter, it really ain't a shame if nobody know about it. That's why I said, the Bible said, for your shame, you should have double. That means somebody's going to have to know about what you went through. Somebody's seen that, but now you got to see this. Look, somebody say, look at this. Colossians, the second chapter, verse 15, the Message translation said, he stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross, watch this, and mocked them naked through the streets. Come on. The GW translation, that's not George W. That's God's word translation. It says he stripped the rulers and authorities of their power and made a public spectacle of them as he celebrated his victory in Christ. The NCV, can't remember what that one is. New Century version, NCV version. It says, God stripped the spiritual rulers and powers of their authority with the cross. He won the victory and showed the world that they were powerless. In other words, the cross is the greatest day, and the cross is all about the fact that Jesus embarrassed the devil. And that's my subject today for resurrection. Embarrass the devil. Come on, high five at least two or three people around you. Say, embarrass the devil. Embarrass the devil. Embarrass the devil. Embarrass the devil. Jesus embarrassed the devil so you can embarrass the devil. I went back. What's the name? Anthony, the guy from ESPN, the big talking Afro. Stephen A. I know there's an A in there somewhere. Stephen A. Smith. Last year, in September 2018, Tiger Woods came close. And he had a tournament, and everybody was talking about it. It looked like he was on his way back. And he fell apart on Sunday. Just totally, it was a disaster. And they asked Stephen A. Smith, who had already said what he said there, it's over, he'll never be back, it's done. And when he got close, they said, are you willing to take it back? He said, I ain't taking it back. He said, like I told you, he'll never win again. We ain't talking about coming close. He said he may do good on the first day or the second day or the third day, but he can't last through 4 days. He'll never be back again. And I was been looking for what Stephen A. Smith said now. Somebody said, devil, you're going to eat those words. You're going to eat those words. And some of y'all, there has been a sentence on your life. And the devil said, you will always fail. You'll never be back. Your best days are behind you. Keep looking back to the good old days. You remember when you're in your first marriage and you used to be in love and you used to have this and you used to have a good job. And it's making you think that everything is behind you and your best days are behind you and the worst days are ahead of you. But somebody will say, devil, I will embarrass you. To embarrass is to cause to experience a state of self-conscious distress. To embarrass is to cause one to be placed in a position of doubt, perplexity, or difficulty. Perplexity. How did this happen? I can't believe I'm going through this. To embarrass is to distress somebody by confusing and confounding them. We had a wonderful day at seeing the movie Breakthrough. We had a great time of fellowship and a great faith-building movie. And then we had a great discussion afterward. But in the movie Breakthrough, the doctors was confounded. We don't understand how this is happening. I'm an expert. He won't make it through the night. This won't happen. That can't happen. It's the worst case I've ever seen. But the doctors were confounded. And when someone is embarrassed, they're confounded because their words don't come true. To be embarrassed is to cause someone to feel anxious, ashamed, or even uncomfortable. Jesus' victory over the cross by the resurrection was the devil's worst embarrassment. I believe it was even worse than being thrown out of heaven and banished from the presence of God. It was prophesied that Satan, also a.k.a. Lucifer, a.k.a. the devil, and a.k.a., according to Bishop Bailey, Old Slewfoot. That's how he called him, Old Slewfoot. It was prophesied that he would be exposed as powerless. Some of y'all aren't familiar with the script, but look at Isaiah 14, 16, and 17. And I believe this is ultimately fulfilled through the resurrection. This is prophesied about the devil, about Satan, about Lucifer. It says, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? He can't even keep somebody who dead, dead. You the hick, you didn't catch that. He can't even keep somebody who dead, dead. Come on, I mean, when people are dead, it's over. I mean, the fight's supposed to be over when they're dead, right? I mean, you fight until you kill them. Once you kill them, I mean, you can walk away. But he couldn't even keep somebody who was dead, dead. Is this the one? The man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. He said, when the devil's really exposed, you're like, I'm scared of that. I'm running from him. I'm in fear because of that, who couldn't even keep somebody who was dead, dead. Some of y'all are going to be using that. The resurrection of Jesus is a story of embarrassment of the devil. Ephesians 4, 8 and 10, Paul puts it this way. He said, wherefore, he said, he ascended up on high, and he led captivity captives, and he gave gifts unto men. He's all the way up. He's all the way up. I'm going to get that later. Jesus is all, looking at us and say, Jesus is all the way up. Verse 9, now he that ascended all the way up, what is it but that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth, that's hell, the holding place of souls and spirits. Verse 10, he that descended is the same also, that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill or fulfill all things. So the resurrection was a day of embarrassment for the devil. The resurrection was a day of embarrassment for the Jewish leaders and the Roman soldiers. They were embarrassed. Look at Matthew 27, verse 62. I'm reading here from the New Living Translation. It says, the next day on the Sabbath, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. Now, this is after Jesus is now dead and in the tomb. They went to see him the next day. They said, sir, now we remember that this deceiver once said while he was alive, after 3 days, I'll rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. Secure it. Lock him in good. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everybody that he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were first. You catch that? He said, if this man get up, I can't use the word that President Trump used when he heard Mueller was going to be investigating him. He said, I'm messed up. Lord, one day let me be able to preach that. As the church evolves, we ain't there yet. Trump said, I'm messed up. They said, if this happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first. Pilate replied, well, take guards and secure it the best you can. Look, somebody say they did the best they could. They beat. Come on, see, some of y'all, you saved, and the devil did the best he could to hold you. You've been delivered, but he did the best he could to keep you addicted. Oh, my God, you've been set free, but he did the best he could to bind you. It ain't like he didn't try. He did the best he could. Potter replied, take guards, secure the best you can. So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. Now, y'all know they probably got some big guards. They got some mean guards like Minister Poos. I'll never look at him the same. If I catch him by himself, the way he was hitting on Jesus and liking it, smiling, say he playing that role a little too good. They got some big burly guys who probably were some of the best defenders. They sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. But when Jesus rose up on that resurrection day that we call Easter, Matthew 28 and 4 says, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake. These are bad men. These are strong men. But when Jesus got up, they start shaking. Look, somebody said, devil, you're going to be shaking in a minute. You're going to be shaking in a minute. The keepers did shake and became as dead men. They fainted. They didn't even put up a fight. They merely fainted. And the Jewish leaders were so embarrassed that they paid people not to let the truth of the resurrection get out. Because I told you, man, this is really going to mess us up. We're really going to be embarrassed if everybody finds out that Jesus rose from the dead. And we're here today because we found out. Aren't you glad you found out? Oh, come on. Aren't you glad that we found out? Come on, the devil tried to keep that under wraps, but it got out. Because truth crushed to the ground will rise again. Jewish leaders were so embarrassed, they paid people not to let the truth of resurrection get out. Matthew 28, starting in verse 11, it says, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch, after these men came back, and Jesus is not there anymore, the guards came into the city, and they showed or told the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, watch it, the chief priest gave them large money. Come on, somebody need to highlight that. God, come on, somebody, come on, say, Lord, I received some large money. It's in the word, which is in the word. They gave them large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, tell them this. Say ye that his disciples came by night and stole him while you sleep. Don't you tell this story. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. We'll protect you. Arthur Tranley said they bribed them to lie that Jesus wasn't resurrected, his disciples came and stole his body away. Verse 15. So they took the money and did as they were taught or told. And look at this. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until what? Oh, so it's still being told. The lie is still being told. That's why so many of our Jewish brothers and sisters refuse to receive Jesus as the resurrected Savior, as the Messiah, because they don't really believe that he rose. They believe that his disciples, because somebody was paid to tell a lie. But every day, the truth is coming out. Come on. And it is up to you and me as kingdom citizens, as believers, as Christians, to let the truth be known that Jesus is alive. Yeah. Talking to a pastor this week, we talked about the church decreasing and all the statistics and trends are saying that the church is diminishing and the church is dying and that less and less people are coming to church and less people are associating with religion at all. Less and less people are even becoming members of the church. And this pastor sent me the article and I read the article. I said, here's my takeaways. I said, number one, I said, we got to become intentional about getting people saved and not just thinking our church is going to grow organically. Just because we're here and you raise your children. I said, we got to be intentional about spreading the gospel. I said, secondly, we got to be serious about evangelizing children and youth. Because statistically, one is less likely to get born again and saved as an adult if they weren't first introduced to Jesus as children. That's why I built a $2 million facility just for children who don't give offerings or good ones. $2 million. Why? Because if we get these children saved, come on now, then the gospel and the church continue to be perpetuated and spread.
His accusers and the devil thought that Jesus' death on the cross would be of great embarrassment. We know that his resurrection came on the third day. Just as what was supposed to cause shame for Jesus, God can resurrect your situation to embarrass the devil. Bishop Herbert Bailey shares this transforming message. Order today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. Ask for Embarrass the Devil. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.